and that is We All by Rush of Fools.
Cool.
Rush of Fools.
I like that.
Yeah, cool. That's you can find that song and a lot of information about them at apostlesthatrock.com. And no, they're not sponsoring this show. It's just a cool website.
Just to make that clear.
If they would like to sponsor this show, they can certainly contact me at comments@twoblindsquirrels.com, and I'd be glad to work out some kind of deal with them.
Oi. Okay.
What? What? We're going to have a pledge.
It's just blatant.
We're going to have a pledge drive soon.
A pledge drive?
Yes.
We're not PBS.
Yeah, well.
You know what? I hate every time, every spring. Pledge drive comes on. Blah, 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 blah. You, if you would give $100, we'll let you have the concert series of John Tesh.
I ain't giving out any tote bags, okay?
Okay.
I'm just saying that the social website costs money. It's $20 a month.
Uh-huh.
Okay? And Charlie's charging, Charlie's having to pay that, and so the ministry is paying him back.
Mm-hmm.
And we had to pay the $20 to get the ads off because the ads were all about singles and stuff that people didn't want to see. A bunch of people requested that we take these ads off. We did. We paid for the upgrade, and it's $20 a month. And we put ads there, but the ads aren't generating any money because nobody's mm-hmm. clicking on them. And there's a chip in there. There was a chip in there, but nobody donated to except me and Charlie. I'm going to put the chip in back up.
Okay.
Or you can just donate to me directly. If you want to know how, you can contact me at comments@twoblindsquirrels.com, of course. All right, let's get this show started. Enough with all that.
Okay.
Business over.
Yeah.
Business meeting is adjourned.
All right, let's get on with it. Okay.
Yeah.
Get on with the show,
sure.
Mister.
All right. Show. What show? Yeah. That means I have to.
Today?
You
going to start it?
Yeah, I think so.
Rolling down the freeway with a rag top down. I got a shuffle on the radio with Brad and Bass. And I got two blind squirrels in the morning. Two blind squirrels at night. Oh, yeah. Two blind squirrels in the morning. Radio on demand. It's all right.
All right. On today, we're going to talk about the two trees. How many trees?
Two.
And two shall be the number of the trees. That's all.
Two blind squirrels in the morning, people radio on demand, it's all right.
Yeah. There were two blind squirrels.
Uh-huh.
Two witnesses in Revelation.
Uh-huh.
Two testaments of the Bible.
Uh-huh.
Two. That's all I got. Two okay. trees in the garden.
Really?
Yes.
Good and evil. Did you know?
Did I know what?
That there's only one can of Cool Whip in our refrigerator. And I have got to talk about this new invention.
Okay. What do you want to talk about? Trees?
Very exciting.
Trees or Cool Whip first? Well,
Cool Whip. It won't take long.
How about trees first, then Cool Whip?
No. I'm walking in the grocery
and then
store.
We'll do Cool Whip.
I'm getting milk out of the dairy.
I say
section,
we do
right?
trees first.
I'm Let's getting the
trees.
Milk out. I look over.
There's two trees.
And next
garden.
To the Ready Whip.
And on one tree.
Seriously?
I'm sorry.
Hush. 50. I look over, and next to the red can of Ready Whip, it says Cool Whip, and it was a can. And I said, what? Cool Whip in a can? That can't be, because I'd have known if there was such a thing as Cool Whip in a can. I was so excited. Helen thought I had lost my mind. I said, Helen, do you have any understanding what this means?
No.
I let me tell you something. I
what?
Love Cool Whip.
I know you love Cool
yes,
Whip.
I love Cool Whip. Like, I will eat Cool Whip with a spoon out of the container. My mother will do the same. I get this from her. I love Cool Whip. However, you can't ever eat the whole thing before it goes bad.
Yeah.
It's moldy on the top. Because, I mean, I don't eat a ton of it. I mean, it sounds like I
That's
just
nasty.
Like eat the whole tub, but don't I
don't. Eat it after it gets
it's
mold
gross.
On the top.
But it gets mold, and then you have to throw it away. Otherwise, you have to keep it in the freezer. And, once you open it, you just can't do that. Anyway, so this is very exciting. So you take, my thing. So I got my strawberries, and I pick one up and put a little Cool Whip on there.
Uh-huh.
Pop it in. It's genius. It's so exciting. Made my week.
It's just Cool Whip, you know.
I know.
Okay.
It's very exciting.
It's in a can.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ready Whip? Eh, I'm not a big fan of Ready Whip. Didn't taste that great. Cool Whip?
Oh, yeah. You know what's really good?
I love Cool Whip.
Whipped cream.
Real whipped cream. But you can't put real whipped cream in a can.
Doesn't you can't work put it in a can?
Because it goes bad. Real whipped cream goes bad quickly.
Well, it's milk. It's cream whipped.
Yeah.
Whipped cream.
Whipping cream, yeah. Do you know how to make whipping cream? Also, you know what else is good? Dream Whip. Dream Whip's good, too.
Is that good? Do they make that in a can?
No.
Maybe some kind of a pressurized bottle?
I don't think so.
Like a hairspray like type
mix.
Of thing?
I have a Dream Whip mix.
You have a what?
Dream
Whip. What did you just say?
Mix.
Okay, that's better. Because, yeah, this is a family
Cool
show.
Whip in a can. Cool.
Yes?
Good stuff there. Good stuff.
All right.
Think I'm going to go have some right now.
No, not right now.
Oh.
Right now we're going to do a trees? Show. We're going to talk about trees.
Oh, okay. Two trees. Trees. There's two of them?
There were two trees.
Good and evil?
No. Oh. Not good and evil. See, that's where people get mixed up. People start thinking about this whole as sort of an Eastern philosophy where, you know, the yin and the yang, the good and the evil. No, there were two trees.
Yes.
But they were not opposite trees.
I know.
One was not good and one was not evil.
I know. One was the, yes, okay, go ahead. I'll let you finish.
Thank you.
Tree of knowledge.
The tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. And the tree of life. First of all, let's take a look at, if we go back, what I found was interesting in my research here was, and this, I'm not preaching at you. I hope I don't preach at you.
Okay, don't preach at me.
I hope
just
I
talk
don't.
To me.
I do. I just want to talk to you.
Okay.
Because I did this research and it was really cool. And I just want to share what I found out.
Well, then why don't you share with us with that?
Well, I looked back and in my research, I discovered that there was no laws. You know, it's obvious, but I never thought about it. There's no laws in the garden.
Right.
Nobody had given any commandments.
No, there didn't need to be.
There need to be. Because Adam had not fallen, so he was a moral creature.
No sin, right.
He was he was good. All that was given was
That was the only time when we actually can say man is good. Yeah. They say now, man's inherently good. No, he's not.
So
he was then, not now.
So
then now.
The garden, so the tree. So the instruction that God gave Adam not to eat from the tree of good and evil, right, was not a moral commandment. There was nothing moral about that about that instruction. Right. It was not an ethical instruction.
Mm-hmm.
And this blew me away because I'm thinking that was a revelation to me because he didn't need moral laws.
Mm-hmm.
He was walking with God at the time. So this was not any type of ethical thing. So it's kind of a mystery. It's like, well, why did he do it?
Okay.
You know, why did he give this out? Why did he give this commandment? And I think it was basically, I don't know, maybe it was a test. Maybe it was the creation of free will. I mean, when he set apart this one tree and said, don't eat from this tree. Thereby, you have free will. Otherwise, how could he have failed him, you know?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So, I don't know. I don't know. I've been kind of wrestling back and forth on that one, and I just don't know. But what I do know in my research is the difference between the two trees.
Okay.
And how that relates to our lives now.
Okay, because you think,
there's these trees, right?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, the tree of good and evil, okay? Let's just look at that one for a minute. Who is... It's all about what you can't do, right? Don't eat from this tree.
Yeah.
And that relates to the tree of knowledge of good and evil. Mm-hmm. Now, what is it a metaphor for? It's a metaphor of the Bible itself. It doesn't make any sense, right? Because you think of the tree of good and evil as being a bad thing. It wasn't a bad thing. God created it.
Mm-hmm.
Just like the Bible is a set of laws. It's a set of rules. It is the knowledge of good and evil.
Mm-hmm.
But we're no longer not supposed to eat from that tree. I mean, as far as... that's concerned.
Mm-hmm.
We have to now, right? Because we've already fallen. So we need to know good from evil, so to speak. I don't know. The point is that the knowledge of good and evil, the knowledge that consists in the Bible of good and evil, the law, never saved anybody. We're only saved by the tree of life, which is Jesus.
Mm-hmm.
We're only saved by the tree of life.
Right.
We're not saved by the knowledge of good and evil.
Right.
The knowledge of good and evil is our fall. Paul says, I would have never even known about sin. I would have never mm-hmm. known of sin unless I hadn't have read the law that mm-hmm. says thou shalt not covet.
Right, right.
It wasn't until he read the law that he sinned.
Right.
Because prior to that, it wasn't counted against him because he didn't know it was law.
Mm-hmm.
So we look at the trees in there, and you say, "What?" So the tree of good and knowledge is all about what you can't do.
Right.
The tree of life. Okay. The tree of life is what to do.
What? Right.
Jesus gave commandments. You know, love mm-hmm. the Lord your God with all your strength and all your mind. And the second greatest commandment is just like to love your neighbor as yourself. These are things to do, mm-hmm. not things not to do.
Right.
Okay. The tree of good and evil. It produces pride.
Hmm.
Right. Because yeah. the more you know, it produces guilt.
Mm, because the more you know.
The more you know. It produces arrogance.
Because the more you know.
Mm-hmm. And it even produces arrogance against sin, because mm-hmm. the more you know about that, the more you point it outwards.
Oh, been there, done that.
Oh, yeah. All right. What does the tree of life produce? It produces humility, the exact opposite of pride. Because
mm-hmm.
when the tree of life, when you come to Jesus, he teaches you to be a servant leader. Yeah. He teaches you to lay down everything and, you know, humility. It teaches you innocence. When are you more innocent than when you're in Jesus mm-hmm. Christ? He is our innocence.
He is
our righteousness. Yeah. And the more we lay everything else down, you know, it's so weird. I was listening to this. I was listening to a guy talk about it, and he was talking about this woman that he knows, and they were listening to her sing, and she was playing a guitar and she was singing, and this guy walked up and said that. She's just the perfect picture of innocence. She's singing this song, just Jesus Loves Me, I think mm-hmm. is what she was singing. And he was saying, oh, and this guy that walked up and started talking to him didn't know who she was and says, oh, she's just so beautiful and innocent, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she was like 22 years old. And she says, yeah, she's innocent, but she's had 4 abortions. She's had a bit of heroin addict. She's lived on the street for, you know, 5 years. That was all before she got saved.
But now she's innocent.
Yeah. Right. Now she's in Christ. Now she's innocent. She's, mm-hmm. you know, and so the tree of life produces innocence. The tree of life does not produce. So the tree of good knowledge, we said, produced arrogance against sin. Well, tree of life produces repentance of sin.
Mm.
Okay. So there's just some things I found out. So the tree of knowledge of good and evil, okay, manifests judgment. The tree of life. Okay, the Bible itself, mm-hmm. the law, it manifests judgment.
Of course.
That's what it's there for. Mm-hmm. It's there to judge good and evil. Mm-hmm. There to judge our
purpose.
Hearts.
Uh-huh.
The tree of life manifests love.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, Jesus. Okay, who's the tree of knowledge of good and evil is works of the flesh. Okay?
Yes.
Does it make sense?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Okay, so you got... it's a works-based philosophy. If I know, but what did works do for us? See, eating of the tree,
got us into trouble.
Eating of the tree of good and evil was a work.
Mm-hmm.
So then we should be able to do a work to undo Mm-mm. what we did.
Mm-mm.
If a work caused us to fall, then it makes sense that a work would cause us to unfall.
But it didn't work that way.
It doesn't work that way, does it? Mm-mm. You know why? And you know why?
You just keep digging yourself deeper.
Because once you've fallen, you can't unfall.
Right.
You know, this is a big myth. And to me, this is one of the people get so confused over this, you know, especially, you know, the people who believe you can fall from grace even after you're saved. Mm-hmm. The Bible never teaches that this is okay. We exist in states of being and we cannot move between them.
No.
Okay. Adam was here and he fell. He can't unfall.
Right.
The only way for Adam to be saved is through redemption.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody has to come in and save him. Mm-hmm. And the only way to do that is to be reborn into a new creature.
Right. So you can't be unborn.
Adam falls. Adam dies.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. In that day, you shall surely die. So in that day, Adam dies. Mm-hmm. He is reborn
Seriously.
As a new creature. Mm-hmm. Okay. Once we're reborn as a new creature, we can't get unborn.
No.
You can't go back and get unborn. So just like you couldn't unfall from grace, you can't go back and get unborn from being a new creature.
Mm-hmm.
All right. That's a little preachy.
Okay.
I'm slipping into my preaching.
I know you, but you had to get that out.
I got to get that out.
I know, because that's a pet peeve of yours.
Right. So if the tree of knowledge is works of the flesh, then the tree of life is fruits of the Spirit.
Mm.
Okay. So you've got
love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness.
Very good. Thank you. I can never remember all those. One of the fruits of the Spirit is not being able to remember the fruits of the Spirit. Evidently. So
Galatians 6, what is it? Galatians 6:23?
Okay. All right. The tree of knowledge of good and evil results in death. Right? It has resulted in the death of Adam. Mm-hmm. It results in the death of us.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, the tree of life results in life, of course.
Oh, yeah.
But, that's its name. Mm-hmm. Okay. Who hangs out at the tree of knowledge of good and evil? Who do we find there? Who was hanging out there when Eve was there?
Oh, the snake.
The serpent, the devil, whatever, Satan.
Mm-hmm. Satan.
Could it be Satan? And who hangs out at the tree of life?
Jesus.
The presence of Christ. That's right. Mm-hmm. So there you have a comparison between the two trees and, you know, the difference in them.
It's very interesting. I like that.
Mm-hmm. There was another thing that I found interesting in my study, and this really has nothing, no bearing on what we've been talking about, but it was an eye-opener for me, something mm-hmm. that I hadn't considered before. And that was that God said that do not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. That sort of predicates the fact that evil exists. Evil existed already.
Mm-hmm. Well, Satan had already fallen.
Well, there are some people that speculate that Satan fell at his temptation of man, or at his tempting of man. Mm. But this sort of predicates that evil already existed. Yeah. Now, whether or not...
I always thought it would, that he was already... I mean, he's slithering around. I don't know.
Jesus said he was a liar from the beginning. So I don't know, you know, I don't know. I'm very confused about that. And I believe what the Bible says, and I'll leave it at that.
Right.
So, but I found it interesting that in this study that it says evil already existed. Mm-hmm. So, I just thought that was interesting. I hadn't considered that before. Also, so in other words, Adam's sin was not the beginning of evil.
Right.
Whether it was, you know, whether it was Adam's fall, whether it was the devil's, you know, or Lucifer's fall, I don't know. But evidently, it was not the beginning of evil. It was also interesting that he said, when you eat from the fruit, on that day you shall surely die. He didn't say if. Now, does that mean that A, God predestined man to fall, mm-hmm. or B, he just knew it was going to happen, mm-hmm. or C, it had already happened when God was translating this to Moses, right?
Right.
So he just put it in past tense, or put it in the tense that mattered, uh-huh. kind of when you do it. I don't think any of that matters.
No, I don't either.
Because bottom line, God is sovereign.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that it was a warning. And I think that so when it happened, I don't think it was a surprise.
Well, no.
To God. Mm-mm. But at the same time,
I don't think he predestined it to happen.
But there you go. So that's my research on all that.
Didn't you have a story from a sermon that you heard?
Well, in this one of these, yeah. Well, that has nothing to do with any of this, but yeah. Yeah, I guess it kind of falls into this? It. There was this. It's Robbie Knievel. Okay, it's Evel Knievel's son. Well, Evel Knievel jumped a fountain at Las Vegas, and
Robbie Knievel.
Evel Knievel jumped this fountain at Las Vegas, and when he did, he broke a bunch of bones. It was one of his worst wrecks he ever had.
This was a while ago.
Yes.
Okay.
So Robbie Knievel, his son, mm-hmm. wanted to
and
jump
Evel
the
Knievel
fountain.
Was a believer, right? Didn't he get saved at the end of his life?
At the end of his life, yes.
Yeah. Okay.
Robbie Knievel got saved right before a little while before he did this jump in Vegas.
Okay.
Okay. And he
so he was going to redo this jump that his dad did that he got so hurt.
Yes.
Okay.
And he completed the jump.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't get hurt.
Oh.
And he rode back up to the top of the ramp. He took his helmet off, and he said, I've forgotten the quote now, but he said that living in the flesh or living the, you know, for a long time I've just lived, you know, helter skelter or whatever he said. I don't remember what he said, but he said just living life. And he says, and it's never done a damn thing for me, basically.
Right.
He says, however, I'm thankful that Jesus Christ loves me. I wish I could get the quote. I can't find the quote. But anyway, that's what the guy said in the middle of the sermon. And he said that more people were upset that he said the word damn
Rabbi Knievel said this.
Yes.
Okay.
Than that he had given the glory to Jesus Christ about his jump or his life change. And he said, in this sermon, he says, and there's a bunch of you out there right now that are more upset about the fact that I just said damn than what, you know. And he was trying to make this comparison about the living today, living in the from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, and how it makes you judgmental, and how you you can't see past certain things. And it's not about the sin, you know, it's about the principles behind the sin. He says, and because as Christians, we're not supposed to live from the knowledge of good and, of the tree of good and evil. We're supposed to be living from the tree of life, which frees us from the other tree. It frees us from the law. We are no longer bound by the law.
And what a much more peaceful way to live.
Yes.
When you're not marching around judging everybody all the time for what they do and say. And that's interesting.
What do you mean
if
by
you're
that?
If you're in that, oh, I've been there. I've been in that. I've been marched. I've marched around and judged everybody for what they did and said. But
what did they did and said?
Oh.
A lot of did. A lot
it
of
was
things.
A long time ago, and I don't want to relive it.
Oh, okay.
but I think it's interesting that if you're a sermon, you're in a sermon, okay?
Yes.
And Helen was sitting next to us, and this pastor said, you know, he's telling the story, and then he repeats it several times in the telling of it, right?
Right.
About Rabbi Knievel.
Yeah, two or three times.
Does that upset us because he says damn in front of Helen?
Mm-hmm.
And when what his point was well overshadowed the fact that he said damn, which is really, I mean, in the grand scheme of things, not that big of a deal, okay?
I mean,
I can have a discussion with Helen and say, we don't say that. It's just not appropriate. The idea of the word itself is, I mean, it's, you don't want to do that to somebody. I mean, that's a terrible thing to do. But just the way that it's used now.
Yeah.
I mean, so what?
We have a lot of hangups about words, don't we?
But it's so what?
Yeah.
But it, as a Christian, there's a big hangup about it, so we're not going to say it. Okay. But so you just explain that to your child, and then they're fine. Is that right?
I can
see their brains just going, getting all upset because somebody's swearing at their kids in church. The pastor's making them think it's okay. Who the heck? It's not about the dumb words.
It's not about the words.
It's the message.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord, that He got that through my thick head. Whew.
Hey, we've all been there, you know? All right, since I promised you Ruth Ann, right?
Yep, you did.
So let's see what she's got to say.
Hola, Diaz. Our verse for the day comes from Matthew 6:19. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal, which ties in with a saying from Thomas A. Kempis. You can in no manner be satisfied with temporal goods, for you were not created to find rest in them. We are a very now generation. We want what we want, and we want it now. We have a bad habit of thinking that the more we have, the happier we will be, and therefore we are surrounded by things and unhappiness. We must turn our eyes off the material and realize that not one thing we own will give us eternal happiness, only our belief in God and our fulfillment in His gospel will. Benedicciones et al. This is Bonita sending you back to Brad and Faith.
We've got to invest in her a pop filter.
Yes.
Great message.
That was very good message.
Great message. Great message. Okay, we got a call. Something about no hugs at work. Remember the no hugs at work show?
Yes.
I listened to the No Hugging at Work podcast, and I was super excited because I totally agree, and I get so weirded out. Right after I listened to it, one of my coworkers called me and said, hey, I'm right next door, because I live next to a diner. And so I go over to see her, and what does she do but give me a hug? And
Don't hug people.
Unless you're friends outside of work.
You can't hug at
work.
There's
no hugging.
Unless you're friends outside of work.
Yeah.
And what I mean, my friends outside of work, I mean really friends outside of work.
Yeah. Not just sort of acquaintance
sort of friends
but real friends.
Real friends outside of work. No hugging. You know why there's no hugging at work? Because there's no hugging at work. Because it's work.
And I thought to myself, now, Brad just told me that there's no hugging at work. Even though we're not at work, it's still a work person. And I was really weirded out, and I said, how coincidental. But I didn't actually say it. I just thought it. And, no, I had to think about that, too. But I don't remember what it was.
Uh-oh.
So I guess it's not that important.
Oh, no.
I have to call back. Bye.
Okay, bye. So I guess you'll call back. But... Yeah, you know, you what else? We've already said everything.
Yeah, I told April. I told April, you know, there's no hugging at work. She's like, I hug everybody. I'm like, but that's you. April hugs everybody, whether she knows them or not.
There are
we can be at the mall, and she will hug people in the store, whether she knows them or not.
Well, she's sort of a free range
one
hugger.
Of those kind of people who hugs everybody.
She's a free range hugger.
She puts people at ease, and I mean, they don't freak out when she hugs them either.
No, not for the most part.
No.
Yeah. But
so she didn't understand that at all.
Well, but she doesn't have a real job.
Well, she used to. And what are you saying? She doesn't have a real job. Are you saying I don't have a real job? She does the same thing I do.
I was talking about her weight. I'm not saying a real. I'm saying an office job. Yeah,
don't say her Weight Watchers job is not a real job, because it is a real job.
Okay. I didn't mean real as in mine is more valuable than hers.
I didn't mean that you said that. I never thought that.
As in office job.
I never thought that you thought yours was better than hers.
Okay.
I meant a real job
as in the kind of situation where you don't hug. She is at Weight Watchers where you're trying to emotionally support people. Of course you're going to hug them.
Right. She hugs everybody.
If you work at a hospital and you're a candy stropper, you're probably going to hug people.
Okay. All right.
I'm talking about office jobs where hugging is not part of the normal course of the job.
No. There's no touching people
to
work with.
Right. No PDA.
It's weird.
No PDA.
Unless you work with me, and then you can touch me.
Well, of course you.
Let's hug it out.
Me and you. Come here.
Come on, let's hug it out. Come on, give me a hug.
Give me a hug. Oh, that's good stuff. Okay. Everybody right now, just wherever you are, unless you're driving, then you need to take a knee and put on the wheel. Take your hands and just wrap them around you.
Put one arm over as far as you can. Squeeze really hard.
Take the left arm and put all the way over to the right. Take the right arm, put all the way over to the left.
Okay, give yourself a hug.
Give yourself a good hug. Okay, now, you had your hug for the day. We've all hugged each other.
Feel better?
Yeah, I hugged you. You hugged me. We're all good.
I feel better. Okay.
Okay, good. Now, nobody hug at work.
Okay.
Now, unless you're a free-range hugger. Now, if you're a free-range hugger, that's a different beast. That's like April. We have a guy.
Now you can't do anything about those kind of people. Those
people are just huggers.
Yeah, it's just the way it
is. They're just
huggers. You can't do anything about them.
But here's the other thing about free-range huggers.
And they make your day.
True. But here's the other thing about free-range huggers. They actually know when it's inappropriate. They know when somebody doesn't want to hug.
Yeah, they'll stand. They won't.
So don't cross that line.
April knows. She knows.
Don't cross that line.
Yeah. She knows. Any more calls?
Yep.
I remember. Took me like 2 seconds to remember.
Well, of course, as soon as you hung up, you would remember.
Of course, that's how it works.
Because that's how it works. If you forget what you're going to say, just hang up because you remember right away.
That's right.
I also don't like it when people at churches that I don't go to hug me. It's weird enough when people I don't know at my own church hug me, but when I'm a visitor, I don't want to be hugged. I don't know you. Don't touch me. That's all.
Now,
bye.
Okay, now wait a minute, though, because I'm sort of with her. And sort of not with her. Because I agree.
It's weird hugging people you don't know.
People you don't know, not good.
Yeah, I'm with her. I don't know.
But she went so far as to say, don't touch me.
Well, you can put your hand. But see, now I'm
the shaker of the hand.
I'm not a big hugger. Well, shaking hands is different.
But she said don't touch. And what
gives you good distance.
And what's up with the whole holding hands business while you sing the final benediction song?
I don't know. But... because we're one in the family.
Is that good, though? Or is that bad?
We are one in the... What is that? Mm-hmm. Da, da,
da, da, da. Here's my recommendation on that.
We are one in the spirit. What was it, 1974?
I don't know.
We are one... Okay.
But can I make a recommendation on that?
Yeah.
When we're at church...
Yeah.
And we all have to hold hands...
Yeah,
okay?
Yeah.
Hold the hand of the person next to you as though you love them. Okay, grab the hand and hold the hand.
Yeah, don't just like limply stick it in there. Yeah.
Like, okay, I have to do this. So I'm going to do this. But don't think, you know, I'm gay.
You know why? Because they're freaked out. They're freaked out because they're holding the hand of somebody they don't know very well.
Hey, I'm freaked out too, okay? But I don't know you. I don't know where that hand's been. I don't know what you've been scratching, okay?
Ew, okay, gross.
But... I'm going to hold your hand like I love you. You know why?
Because
it's weirder.
I do love you.
Because it's weirder to hold a cold fish. Well, okay, true. Because I do love you. Okay, that's one reason. But there's another reason. And that is that it's weirder to hold a dead fish hand right?
Mm-hmm.
For five minutes while you sing a song, than it is to hold a hand that feels like somebody that's holding your hand.
Yeah, exactly. Okay, now.
Hold my hand in Christ. Don't hold my hand in the flesh. Hold my hand in the spirit.
That's right. I went to school today.
Hold my hand through the tree of life.
That's right.
Not through the tree.
Preach it, brother.
Good.
Preach it.
And knowledge.
Thank you.
Hallelujah.
Thank you very much.
All right.
I went to school today.
You're in school again?
No, I went for
Helen. Where did you start that?
Went to Helen's school. Went to Helen's
school. They only teach like to the fifth grade.
Okay.
You graduated already.
I went to Helen's school.
Yes.
Because they had
Went where?
To Helen's
school.
And
School?
Seriously.
Maybe you need to go back and check because I don't think there's a W in that word.
Shut up. Okay. So they have an awards.
School.
They have an award ceremony.
Two syllables.
Because tomorrow's the last day of school.
School. Yeah. Go ahead.
You really want to go there with me?
I always know when I pushed it too far.
You really want to go there with me? Because I can make fun of you all day about how you talk.
Something in her just snaps like a little click. And it's like, oh, that was too far. Go ahead.
So they have an award ceremony and Helen, they all got awards. Whatever. Okay, I really want to tell you about this, but I'm not going to. I'm not going to torture you all with my child's Helen really cool awards that she got. Because I've already called my mom, Brad's mom,
me,
April, Brad, and I told both moms who picked up the babies today.
Oh my goodness.
Because I can't help it. It's just cool.
Okay. So anyway.
She's just so
smart. But you're not going to tell the podcast
people. I'm not. I'm just going to say that she's really smart.
Okay. Go ahead.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Okay. So anyway. And she's really cute.
Come on.
And she's sweet.
Yes.
Okay. So. I forgot. So I was standing there after the thing got done, and it was outside.
Yes.
And so we were standing there, and everybody's chit-chatting. And I got the babies in the double stroller, and they're hanging out, and they're doing good.
Yes.
So April and I were talking, and she goes off and was talking to somebody else. And then one of the moms comes up to me that I don't know very well, okay? So they go to our church.
Oh, brother.
And I've known her for a long time.
Here we go.
Why are you cueing me out?
I'm not cueing you
That's
out.
That's just rude.
It's background music.
Okay. So,
so this woman comes up to you, you don't know. So,
well, no, but I mean, I do know her. She's an acquaintance. Okay.
She's an acquaintance.
And they go to our church, and I see her every so often, and she comes up to me, and she gives me a hug. And I'm like, huh? What? I don't know you well enough to hug you. Yeah. That's weird. It weirded me out. But and I understand the whole hugging business. Like Michelle, my friend, love you, hug. Uh-huh. Her husband, side hug. You always hug men to the side.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that's just appropriate.
Yep.
And
that's a pastor trick.
Yes. Hug to the side.
Hug to the side.
And so I give her husband a hug and give, you know, but she, and I'm like, and it's just strange. It's just strange. And I mean, I touch people. Yeah. I mean, if I don't know you very well, I put my hand, especially with men, because men kind of get freaked out if you hug them, if they don't know you very well. And I don't want to put them in a strange position, being a woman hugging a guy.
Yeah.
I mean, you don't want to.
No, no.
You don't want to.
No, no.
Go down that road.
Exactly.
So anyway, so I don't always hug people and hug men unless I know them well. And so, but I touch men on their arms, you know, like I'll put my hand on their arm. Uh-huh. How you doing? You know, kind of on the back of their, you know, arm.
Yeah.
And that, I mean, is that acceptable?
That's acceptable.
Okay. I can tell some people who it freaks out though, because I pay attention to their body language and I won't ever do it to them again.
There you go.
Because I've done it to some people and they're like, what are you touching me for?
Well, as long as you're paying attention and you're sensitive to that, then that's good.
Yeah. But she hugged me and I didn't like that.
Yeah.
I don't know you. Why are you hugging me? Just because our kids go to the same school.
I'm a big hugger.
And we go to the same church. Why are you hugging me?
I'm a big hugger. I like
to
hug.
I love to hug.
But there's a certain level. If you can't tell the person you love them, then don't hug them.
Yeah. Well, I bet you do love them. We've already gone. We have to go down this road again?
I understand you do hug them. I'm saying if you can't
we
tell that person.
We are one in the spirit. We are one in the Lord.
Thanks for joining us today.
Today,
whenever you're listening this morning, have you had your coffee? We know you've had your hug. Have you had your coffee?
Have you had your coffee today?
If you haven't had your coffee, have you had your Dr. Pepper? Because those are the only two options in the morning.
Coke. I don't drink Dr.
Coffee
Pepper.
Coffee?
Coke.
Or Dr. Pepper?
No, Coke. Dr. Pepper is disgusting.
Or Coke. Dr. Pepper?
Coke.
Coffee.
Coke.
Dr. Pepper. The only other option is if you're a freaky, like, vegetarian kind of person, you can drink orange juice.
No, grape juice. I drink grape juice every morning.
You have to have something to cut.
Grape juice. Throat. If you don't drink red wine, grape juice has the same stuff in it as red wine does. And I drink it's a glass
the same
every day. It's got it's from the,
same
it's
the, nutrients?
The skin from the grapes. Same thing as red wine.
Oh, yeah.
I drink it every day.
Sure.
Antioxidants. It's good for you.
Mmm.
And you don't get drunk. Gotta like that.
What good is that?
Grape juice.
No. Oh.
I've been drinking grape juice since I was a kid. Little kid.
So you're addicted. You're like
a little kid.
So you're like a non-alcoholic.
No, I only drink a little teeny amount.
So,
just like a little 6 ounce glass.
You start with a little teeny amount,
no,
before you know
it. No, you can't drink any more than that. It's too rich.
You're knocking a 12-pack of Welch's back every day.
No. Welch's is only taken in small doses. Ask my dad. He's been drinking a small cup every day for his entire life. He's 76 years old.
Yeah, but then you start mixing it with water. And
seriously?
What?
You like a Welch's water on Welch's. The rocks.
Yeah, Welch's and water. Can I have a Welch's and water, please?
Okay, you done?
I guess.
Mr. Can only have Dr. Pepper in the morning.
I love Dr. Pepper in the morning.
Ugh.
I love the Diet smell Coke. Of Dr. Pepper in
Diet
the morning.
Diet Coke with Splenda.
All right, everybody. Dios con Dios. We'll talk to you tomorrow. I love you.
Mm-hmm.
I love you.
I love you too.
Two blind squirrels, they're gooder than pie.
This show was sponsored by the grace of Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have your life sponsored by the creator of the universe, then go to a Bible near you and turn to Romans 3:23, where it says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." But what does this mean? It means that before a holy and perfect God, we are all broken. If you know this to be true, then you must admit that you are a sinner. Sin separates us from God and prevents us from being in His presence. Now, once you've admitted you are a sinner, you must be willing to turn from sin. In Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Jesus Christ our Lord." So how do we become right with God? We need a way to be forgiven for our sins, and that way is through the sacrifice and raising up of Jesus Christ. In Romans 5:8, it says, "But God demonstrates His own love for us in this, while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." Through prayer, invite Jesus into your life to become your personal Savior. It says in Romans 10:10, "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved." It also says in Romans 10:13, "For whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." If you know these things in your heart, then here's an example of what you might pray. Dear God, I am a sinner and I need forgiveness. I believe that Jesus Christ shed His blood and died for my sin. I'm willing to turn from sin, and I ask Jesus to come into my heart and my life as my personal Savior. Open yourself up to the infinite grace of God, and it will change your life for eternity. This offer is non-refundable. Valid in all states. No further purchase is necessary.